the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. You know, the Pharisees get a really bad rap in the Gospels. They're always the folks poking and prodding at Jesus and, of course, being shown to be wrong. But the Pharisees weren't really such terrible people. The Pharisees were Jews who wanted very much to live their entire lives in accordance with God's will. They wanted their whole life, every bit of it, from the ways they ate to the ways they dealt with one another, to be based on the law as revealed to them in Torah, on God's will for the people. And they took those things on willingly, just like we take on going to church willingly, I hope, most of us. So when the Pharisee comes to ask Jesus to test him, this is not an abstract question. In their seeking to live fully into God's will in every part of their lives, the Pharisees had identified 613 regulations. 613 things that you were supposed to do, from very small things to very large things. And I'm sure most of them had a hard time keeping track of all 613. I have a hard track sometimes of keeping track of all 10 commandments, and I know those pretty well. So the question the Pharisees coming to Jesus with is not an abstract one, philosophically, what do you think is most important to God? He's coming to Jesus with a question of, how do you think we should order our lives? What are the most important of these 613 regulations to be following so that we know that we are doing God's will? I have no doubt it was a test for Jesus. Because if he got it wrong, you can bet the Pharisee was going to tell all of his friends, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But it's not an abstract question. And Jesus replies, not by coming up with something brand new that nobody had ever heard of before. He quotes Deuteronomy. He quotes Torah. It's also found in Leviticus. He says, the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. And the second commandment, which is really pretty nearly the same as the first commandment, is to love your neighbor as yourself. This makes sense if you remember that just a couple of verses ago, Jesus was talking about who is God and that we are made in the image of God. If we love God, then how can we not love the people made in God's image? It is indeed, and most of the Jews at the time would have agreed, it is the foundation of everything that God and the prophets taught. Everything in the law. Everything in the prophets. This is the foundation of it. But it isn't an abstraction. It isn't a theoretical idea. Jesus is not simply talking about having warm, fuzzy feelings towards people who are nearby. He's talking about a way of living. He's talking about the foundation for everything else in our lives. Because that's what the Pharisee was asking him. What is the foundation for living in accordance with God's will? And the answer is, love God with everything you have. And love the image of God that you see in your neighbor. On this, everything else should flow. A couple of things about that. You know, sometimes in the church, we treat religion as though it's mostly about us. We talk about what we get out of church. We talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus. We talk about personal saviors. Sometimes we act as though Sunday morning is the time when we're Christians, and that that is the primary purpose of being Christian, is to be in church on Sunday morning to worship God. But you'll notice that when Jesus says, what's the foundation we're to build on? It doesn't mention me at all. It talks about God and it talks about my neighbor. The foundation for being Christian is how I respond to God and how I respond to my neighbor, not what God has done for me lately. It's about pointing outward, not inward. Church is primarily to get us oriented in the right direction to live our lives according to God's will. That's why we come. That's why the Pharisees had all of these rules. Being Christian is not primarily about what we do on Sunday morning. What we do on Sunday morning is about how we are Christians. And that means what we do when we leave church. It means what we do in the rest of our lives. It means how we treat people who have less power than we do. If we are employers, how we treat employees. If we are the head of committees, how we treat committee members. If we are voters, how we choose the people who will make decisions for us. It has to do with how we live our lives, about the choices that we make, and do they show our love of God and of our neighbor. If you want to know what God thinks is important, there's a whole book called the Bible, in which there's the law and the prophets that the Jesus references here. And over and over again in the law and the prophets, it talks about how we deal with people who are not people we necessarily, automatically come to the rescue of. Strangers, foreigners in the land, immigrants, those people, whoever those people might be. And they're different at different times in different places. Over and over again, in the Bible, we hear the prophets and the law and Jesus telling us that to be Christian means to feed the hungry and care for those who lack basic necessities. Over and over again, we get told that loving our neighbor is not just a matter of thinking kind thoughts, but of taking action. If you are in church this Sunday, primarily so that you can get a boost for the week, and then we'll go on about your business without worrying that much about your neighbors, this is going to be a very bad week for you. Because what we are called to is to find strength in God, to find the image of God here, so that we can then go out and act in ways that demonstrate our love for our neighbor, because that is how we show our love for God. For me, one of the things that's going to mean, I volunteered on Election Day to be making some phone calls to get folks to come out and vote yes on question 4, which talks about, would make a law saying you'll have earned sick time for everybody. I was in Lowell last week talking to folks at St. Patrick's Church through the Merrimack Valley Project. And I learned that half of the people who go to St. Patrick's, half of the people in Lowell, don't get sick time. Peter Lovett, who is the minister at Christ Church in Lowell, told me about one of his parishioners, a recent immigrant who had a job at Walmart. He got commended for what a great job he was doing, and then he developed appendicitis. And he was out for over a week because of surgery. And they fired him. Because he had no sick time, and their policy was, after 3 days, you're out the door. one's neighbor should behave. That isn't, I think, how we show our care and concern for the people that I meet at Walmart who sell me the things that I need. So because I think that it matters what we do as a society, I'm going to go and I'm going to make some phone calls encouraging people to come out and vote. It's not the only way you can love your neighbor. In fact, there are so many different ways you can show your love of neighbor. They're almost endless. You can continue bringing food for the food pantry. You can help serve at the Elliott meal. You can come to the rescue of a parent who's trying to figure out what on earth they're going to do with their toddler today now that they've been called into work. You can simply be understanding and sympathetic and try and find a solution when someone comes to you with a problem. You can run for office. You can go to town meeting. You can speak up at a rally. There is no end of ways that we can demonstrate our love of our neighbors. And I have no doubt each and every one of you has some passion in their hearts, some injustice that you're angry about, or something that you think can be made better if you step in and act on it. And if you do, then that's what we're here to help you do today. That's why we've invited you to come to church and to pray and to worship God, so that you can recognize image of God in your neighbor, and you will be encouraged and empowered to do whatever it is your heart is calling you to do, to take action, to demonstrate your love of neighbor. Because when you show your love of your neighbor, you are also showing your love for God. And upon that,